Good old Ben Franklin once said that there are only two certainties in life. Do you remember what they are? Death and taxes. Those are definitely certain. You can count on that. Now, if I had to make that statement, I think I'd add one more. Death, taxes, and suffering. We all face suffering in life sooner or later. Whether we are already there or it's yet to come, and just watch or read the daily news. There are terrorist attacks and retaliation. Innocent people are injured and killed in war, sometimes on our own streets. Natural disasters like the earthquakes just last week on the other side of the river. Children go hungry, the poor struggle. No safe place to rest for the homeless. The people of the Ukraine are living in an unending hell of war right now, like the world hasn't seen in some time. Our economy is tanking. And the cost of everything, anyone been to the store lately? Of course you have. You have to go to the store. Anyone paying less for things at the store, I don't care what it is, than they were last year, or gas? There's something, if you wait a day to buy gas, you could be in for a big surprise. Get it as soon as you can. We witness our own bodies deteriorate as we age. Good Lord, Lynn, are you noticing? Yeah. Sooner or later, we all experience suffering of some kind. It's all around, and sooner or later, it's going to find us. Now, how's that for one dismal summary of life? Death, taxes, and suffering. Yeah. You know what, though? The Bible doesn't ignore the reality of our world. And nowhere does Christianity deny the existence of pain or suffering, or tell us as followers of Jesus Christ that we will be exempt from suffering. What Scripture does tell us is that this is a fallen world. It's a broken planet. A creation that's flawed and that no longer fully reflects the image and purpose of the God who created it and called it good. I think it's especially during the season of Lent that we acknowledge the reality of suffering. And we remember the suffering that Jesus chose willingly and lovingly to take upon himself for our sake. But Lent gives us a lens through which to view suffering. And that is through the lens of God's mercy, because in it we see a God who entered into our suffering to bear our suffering and to bring healing to us, to be merciful and to be present with us when we suffer. Why is there suffering in the world? I mean, that's the million-dollar question. In some places, the Bible says that ultimately the answer is because there's sin in the world. God created the world without suffering, but when humanity rebelled against God's perfect plan, sin, along with suffering, was introduced. So ultimately, the problem isn't pain and suffering. It's not the crime and illness and catastrophes that plague us. They're only symptoms of a deeper problem that has infected all of humanity. And that problem is sin. And each of us has been infected with sin. Now, that's the official party line anyway. But honestly, how does that sit with you? Does that help you endure when you're suffering or ease your pain? Is it an adequate answer for you? It seems to me that there's more to it than just chalking it up to sin and moving on. I mean, if you've ever read the book of Job, or listen to Jesus' words to his disciples, it's obvious that suffering isn't always a result of our sin. Sometimes it's just the way life is. Does that make you feel any better? Suffering is real. In the book Migrants, Sharecroppers, and Mountaineers, a poverty-stricken mother describes an incident in which her husband lost his temper at a preacher who was speaking on the topic of suffering in a church service. And she says, "Then my husband did the worst thing he could do. He took the baby, Annie, and he held her right before his face, the ministers, and he screamed and hollered at him. He told him that here was our little Annie, and she's never been to the doctor, and the child is sick. And we've no money, not for Annie, or for the other ones, or ourselves. Then he told the reverend he was like all the rest, making money off of us. And he held our Annie as high as he could, right near the cross, and told God he'd better stop having the ministers speaking for him, and he should come and see us himself. I think that father sums up the dilemma of pain and suffering about as well as any long-winded theologian ever has. Why are there sick children? And why is there no money? And why is there no hope? Maybe you felt the same way. But there is one point in the father's tirade where he's mistaken. He demanded that God come down and see for himself the suffering in this world. But he forgot that God did exactly that. And not only did God see what suffering is like, he experienced it in his fullness. He felt, he lived it. He experienced firsthand what it's like to suffer. God's own Son, Jesus Christ, came into our fallen and broken world and experienced its imperfection and its ugliness and its cruelty and its suffering. He was treated with more injustice than I think most of us ever will. He was betrayed by his friends. He was rejected by his own people. He was spit on and stripped and mocked and ridiculed and beaten. Peter says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. The cross on which Christ died was not a pretty sight. It was meant to produce unbearable suffering, right? We use the word excruciating, which in fact comes from the word crucified, literally meaning out of a crucifixion. Just like us, and then some, Jesus tasted the curse of suffering. That is a real part of our world, whether we like to admit it or not. And that cross became a symbol to remind us that God in Jesus Christ chose to share in our pain and our suffering and even our death. And not only did he share in it, but he experienced it in our place. So we can trust the Lord through our suffering because he endured it with us and for us. God knows what suffering in this world is like. Jesus is the wounded healer. Because of his suffering, we are made whole and healed from our greatest ailment, that sickness of sin. Peter wrote, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. Because Jesus dealt with the cause of suffering, sin, we can trust him to deal compassionately with the symptom of our suffering and the pain and sorrow that goes with it. Because Jesus endured on our behalf, we too can endure. Peter goes on to say, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. You know, when we become Christians, doesn't mean that suffering is automatically removed from us, because if it is, then I don't know, I think I signed on the wrong line. Sometimes we suffer because of our sin. Sometimes we suffer because of the sins of others. But then there are other sometimes. You know those sometimes, right? Sometimes that's just the way this world is. And sometimes that's just the way life is. And it's not anyone's fault. Disasters happen. Sickness and injury sometimes find us. Suffering is one facet of our life. But it doesn't have to be the defining facet of our life. While we may not get to choose the if or the when of our suffering, and we rarely do, we do get to choose how we respond. And that's where faith comes in. And that's where the mercy that God shows us in Jesus Christ is so important. As Christians, we view suffering with new eyes and from a renewed perspective. We do it in light of God's mercy, because in mercy, Christ suffered for us. But more than that, for that's only half the story, because Christ willingly and lovingly and fully chose to go to the cross and bear its pain and its suffering and its shame so that he, God in human flesh, could know suffering as we know suffering. God in Jesus Christ stands with us when we suffer, whether from the consequences of our sin or someone else's, or because that's just life. And in God's mercy, we can find in our suffering the mercy of God who's already been there and conquered all things on our behalf, because God's mercy reminds us that he is right there with us as we suffer. Why? Because that's what love does. It chooses willingly to share in someone else's suffering. Like we choose to do when someone we love is suffering, we choose to share that bitter cup with them, right? If it's your spouse or your child or your best friend who's suffering, wouldn't you be right there with them? And haven't you been? Of course. That's love. Corrie Ten Boom provides us with a powerful example of the transformative power of suffering and God's mercy. Now, her family was persecuted by the Nazis for protecting Jews during World War II, and she and her sister Betsy suffered incredible hardships in the concentration camp where they were sent because they were harboring Jews. And in the midst of that misery, Betsy proclaimed a message of faith. When Corrie lamented about the pit of suffering they were in, Betsy said, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." Betsy knew that life is painful, but she also knew that God's mercy is even more powerful than that. Peter goes on to write about Jesus when he says, "By his wounds you have been healed." So during this Lent, and always, may we remember that the suffering Christ experienced on the cross for us and in solidarity with us. But may we never forget the healing and hope that came from that same suffering. And never let us forget, when we're suffering, to draw upon that healing strength that comes to us in our suffering. Christ's healing strength that was forged in the furnace of his suffering and death, and made perfect in his resurrection for us and freely given to us. God's mercy in Jesus Christ, when and where and how we need it. Amen.